Well, good morning. It's been very good to be here. Let you greet you in Jesus' name. We thank you for those songs and the singing this morning. It was a real blessing and inspiration. I desire to speak a little bit, to talk about a man that we found in, read about in Hebrews 11, verse 32. It was mentioned there. His name was Gideon. And I'd like to read some of that account there in Judges and try to make some comments on it and try to encourage us by the faith that he had. He's mentioned there in his name is mentioned there among the in the faith chapter. It's kind of a blessing and inspiration to me. I'd just like to start with a word of prayer this morning. Let's bow. Lord, just bow before you. Oh God, we desire to lift up your word. We desire that you would shine a light upon your word here, Lord, and enlighten each one of our hearts. Father, would you encourage us on? We pray, Lord, that you'd bless these few crumbs that I have in spite of me, Lord, and help to encourage us on. Would you bless these, your people here today, Lord? Pray that you'd bless the remainder of the service. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. There's quite a few chapters. I'm probably going to pick out and read certain parts of it and try to comment on it. I think we're going to start breaking from starts in Judges 6 down to 11. I think we'll start reading in verse 11. But the Midianite people had come in. Israel had sinned, fallen away from the Lord, and the Midianite people had come in to the land and basically desolated the land. There was nothing left to eat. It was a hard time there for the nation of Israel. God raised up a prophet there, and we'll start reading in chapter 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abrazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Here he was threshing wheat in secrecy to keep the food that he was generating from the Midianite people that were there to get it. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And our fathers told us of saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherein shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And he said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and an unleavened cakes, an ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up out of the rock, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abarzites. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, take the father's young bullock. I might quit reading there in make a few comments on what I read so far. In verse 13, Gideon knew, he had heard stories of what it was in the past, of how God had worked. But there was no present working. Do our children see a living faith in our lives and a current vibrant walk with current experiences with God? Or are they hearing about past experiences like Gideon had? It was a challenge to me. We need that walk. We need to have that to pass it on to our children. Second, in verse 15, we see the humbleness of Gideon. God can work in the humble and broken spirit, in the humble and broken heart. The Psalms 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Verses 17 to 21, Gideon prepared a present and or a sacrifice and presented it to the angel, who treated it like an offering that the Lord consumed with fire. We can see that that strengthened the faith that Gideon had. We'll read on here in 25 to 32. Israel at the present time was steeped in Baal worship. And God told Gideon to destroy that place of worship. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, and behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built, they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing." Then the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cut down the altar of Baal, because he has cut down the grove that was by it." And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." We see that Gideon's father stood against the men there, and that if Baal be a god, let him fight for himself. We know there was no power in there, in the idol worship there. Gideon's faith was growing. He followed what God commanded. He didn't do it in the daylight where everybody was watching, but he did go do it at night. And he did go do it at night, and he fulfilled the commandment. I think we're going to skip down to verse 37, where he put out a fleece. The Lord had told, he called all of Israel together there to go out against the Midianites, and he was looking for a sign that God was with him to go out and fight. And we'll continue reading in 37. It says, "Behold, I will put," let's back up to 36, I'm sorry. "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside it, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And it was so, for he arose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Have we ever put a fleece out? I know I have. Gideon needed reassured that God was really with him. He put a fleece out twice. God didn't leave him down either. Neither will he us if we ask from a heart truly seeking his will. It is safe to say that God may not answer a fleece where he has given clear direction through his word. But have we made a fleece and not upheld our end of the bargain? Lord, help us. In chapter 7, we see that Gideon had too many men that showed up to fight. When we read how many the Midianites were, in verse 12 it says the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. We don't think he had any too many men, but he had too many for God to show himself strong. Lest they boast in themselves that their hand, their arm delivered them. We see that he told everyone that was afraid to go home, and that took care of 22,000 of them. Then there remained 10, and he still had too many men. So they took them down to the water and to drink, and everyone that got down on their knees and drank, why, he sent them home, but the ones that scooped up water with their hands to their mouth, why, which was 300, those he kept to fight. As they pondered that, they would be more vulnerable if they dropped down on their knees and were, they'd be a lot more vulnerable. But I'm not sure exactly what all reasons God gave, but you could stay more alert if you would bring water up to your mouth that way. But God got Gideon the men that he needed. But he needed one more. He wasn't quite ready to go fight yet. He needed a little more reassuring, and God gave him that. He sent him down to the camp of the Midianites, and he heard these two men talking. The one had dreamed a dream in verse 13. And the other man told him to interpret it for him. So he went down to the... I can imagine. I'm sure it was dark and they... stole down quietly down to this camp.
at the exact precise time this Midianite was sharing this dream to the we'll read it here. In chapter 7, verse 13. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, and the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so that when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. It's interesting that in his dream, he's seen what the land was desolate of, a barley cake that tumbled into the camp. I pondered that. That's what the Midianites had basically wasted the land, and there was no food. And there's a barley cake that tumbled into the camp, I'm not sure what that's signifying, but God knew what he was doing. It's amazing. And it brought rejoicing, because I'm sure you have, and I know we have, it was a confirmation of what he was ready to do, or wanting to do, or needed to do. And what he just heard confirmed what he needed to do, and gave him the strength and the faith to go do it. I'm not sure that I'll read the rest of the about the battle. We know that Gideon and the 300 men, they circled the camp, or they didn't completely circle it, but they had lights in two pitchers and a trumpet, and they blew the trumpet and they clashed the pitchers together, and they made a big commotion. And the fear of God came upon the camp, and there was mass disarray. In the Midianite camp, there was said that every man was against his. I should just read that. Every man swore against his fellow, even throughout the whole host that fled. We know that it was a great deliverance. There was 120,000 that fell of the Midianites that day, or that night. Plus, I think the 300 pursued another 15,000. So it was a very great deliverance that God wrought there for Israel. I just appreciated, again, Gideon's humbleness in verse 8 and 22 and 23. Israel wanted him to rule over them, but he refused kingship. He pointed, he said, "The Lord will reign over you." I would just appreciate his humbleness and his that we can glean from his lives. He refused to be a king, but he pointed them to the Lord. God is willing to use men today in the same way to bring about. God is still willing to use men today to obtain His purposes if we're willing and sold out to Him. In closing, I have a quote here from Charles Spurgeon that I'd like to read in closing. "There is nothing of which a child of God need be afraid, either on earth or under it. I do not believe that in the lowest depths of hell we should hear or see anything that need to make a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to be afraid. On the contrary, tidings of what the Lord has wrought have made the enemy to tremble. Goodness wears in her innocence a breastplate of courage, but sin gendereth to cowardice. Those who follow after falsehood have a secret monitor within which tells them that theirs is a weak cause and that truth must and will prevail over them. Let them alone. The beating of their own hearts will scare them. The Lord liveth, and while He liveth, let none that trusteth in His words suffer his heart to fail him. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Christ and Him crucified, God forbid that we should know anything else among men but the death, blood, and the resurrection, the reign, the coming, the glory of Christ. Let us not lose faith in our calling nor in our God, but rest assured that the Lord reigneth and His cause must triumph. Grant it, O Lord, for Thy Son's sake. Amen." That's all I have. Thank you for listening.